Well, hello, Vashon. This is Dub Speaks. I'm your host, Chris Austin, and joining me today is Hope Black. How would you describe yourself?
My husband and I recently moved here within the last 2 years when I found out I was pregnant. So we came here mostly to raise a family and to sort of settle down because we love Vashon. And I'm an artist. My husband's a musician. And this is the perfect little artist enclave for us.
I see. Well, where are you coming from?
We came from Seattle, but originally the Midwest. So we found our way to the coast and we're in love and we're going to stay here forever.
Okay. What's your medium as an artist?
I dabble in everything. I'm mainly a painter, but I'm also a photographer, and half the time I mix the two. So I do toner transfer work with mostly acrylic paint. And so I do multimedia pieces. I like to pick up trash from the streets also and incorporate that, like a bit of wire that I find on a walk or a piece of plastic. And I also do watercolor. I'm sort of all over the place, but those are my main things.
So you've joined forces with the Dub Project, correct?
Yes.
And so the purpose is to, well, you tell me the purpose.
Dove is, it's an advocacy agency for survivors of domestic violence on the island. And they run a lot of different programs. And the one that I'm involved in is they have art, and they have art sessions for survivors who want to come and participate in that. And we set up outdoors under a tent, and they have lots of different artists and makers teach or lead classes and sessions that people can take and come make things and learn different mediums.
Well, you know, I've heard for years that, you know, art can be therapeutic for trauma survivors. Why is that? What is unique about art that helps us get through tough situations like that?
Yeah, that's a really big question, but I'll try to answer it simply. When we experience trauma, the memories of that, the effects of that are, they get sort of saved in our bodies and our minds. So people have PTSD, your memories get saved in your body, if you will. So different parts of your body get physically traumatized, things like that. And it's very hard to talk about things sometimes. Your memories are skewed, or you can't talk about things, or you'll get re-traumatized. So therapy is really hard for people, talk therapy. And a lot of people just sort of shut down after traumas and they won't talk about it. And art is something where, A, you don't have to be talking to do it. You don't have to say anything. Nobody is prying into your mind. You're completely in control. And when you get that right brain part moving and you get yourself making something with your hands and you get those creative juices flowing, if you will, there's parts of the mind and the brain that can sort of open up and start to flow. And I've noticed with a lot of the sessions that I've done, actually, you know, people will start to just talk about different things. Just, they don't want to talk at first. And then you start painting and all of a sudden you're just sort of chatting about a memory or something that needs to come out. And I'm not sure I can answer exactly why, but all I know is that when you start making something with your hands, there's something in the mind and the body that starts to calm and that starts to want to heal, or even heal in the moment. And I've seen it happen with my own eyes, and I've heard it happen with my ears, you know?
Yeah. It seems like almost the act of creating some type of art is a surrogate for, you know, having a conversation with a therapist perhaps.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, music can be really similar. It's an abstraction of a reality. And if your reality is too traumatizing to look at or talk about or recognize, well, make an abstraction of it. You know, there is, that's a good word you used, surrogate. I like that. You know, it's a replacement for saying the actual words. You know, what if we just start painting and you use a lot of black or blue or something, I'm going to notice that and go, what is that? What's that about? What do you, what does that mean to you? You know? So.
Interesting. You know, also, I think when you're actively doing something, maybe it's a bike ride or driving a long distance, there's a part of your brain that works on problems subconsciously. And it's funny how ideas will pop into your brain when you're not really thinking about them. You're doing something else.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, what about people that aren't artists, that, you know, don't have a lot of experience creating something from nothing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, that people, I get that a lot, actually. Well, I'm not an artist. I'm not creative. Sure. I can't paint. I can't draw. I'll start off by saying I couldn't draw you if I tried. I'm not a realist. Doesn't matter. I'm an abstract artist. So there's that. Second of all, I won't get into the debate of whether or not everyone is actually an artist, which I do think that, but I would get a lot of flack from the artist community maybe. But so we won't go there. But if you have no artistic ability, or so you think, and you come to a class and you're like, I'm just going to embarrass myself, and you have that block or whatever's going on, I would say that every single person, whether everyone's an artist or not, every person has the ability to open up that avenue in their minds. If that makes sense. Every single person, regardless of artistic ability or know-how, can come to an art therapy session and get out their minds on the paper, if you will, you know, because it's not like we're going, it's not like we're doing like drawing sessions where we're drawing a human. It's like, let's, I mean, last week we decorated masks, right? Anyone can glue things onto a mask. Mostly with what I, the kind of stuff I do, it's very symbolic. It's very much like, sometimes you might call it more crafty, but the point of it isn't to be a good artist or isn't to make a pretty painting. The point of it is to look at what you've made with your hands and for it to open something up or trigger something or make you realize something, or what have you.
Do you find that there's a particular technique that works better, like a three-dimensional clay versus two-dimensional canvas, or is that just down to the individual?
I mean, it is partly an individual thing, but I would actually say probably something that is more fidgety, if you know what I mean, that would probably be
more tactile. Maybe.
Yeah, more like, yeah, exactly. Clay is a really good example. And anyone can grab a lump of clay and just smash it in their hands for an hour. I mean, sometimes you're not even making anything and you're just like, and this clay is getting some of your stress. So you're a little bit less stressed in your mind and you're able to talk a little, you know? Yeah. I think that probably a blank canvas or paper is a little bit more intimidating. So I never do that.
Yeah.
You know, we always have something specific.
Sure. And that was my next question, is how much direction do you give people? Like you said, a blank canvas is pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Well, I don't know what I want to do, but maybe directed toward, let's make a torso out of this clay, something like that. Is that kind of how you point them, or do you just hands off?
Yeah, you have to have more direction. I know for me, as a professional artist, I have the rainbow of colors and a blank canvas, and I get really intimidated and just freeze. So, you know, I'll have a specific technique that we're doing, and there's a specific intention in mind that we come to always. You know, this week, in 2 days, on Thursday, I'm teaching a class, and we're going to do kintsugi, which is an ancient Japanese art form where we mend ceramics with gold lines. So you can see where the broken lines, you can see where it was broken and now it's mended with gold. So you can see the symbolism therein. And it's very specific. And I'm just going to guide people and say, whatever you break, break with intention. Think about something you want healed while you break it with the hammer. And then we're going to put it back together. So it's pretty specific, but it's really individual too. I can't tell you what to feel while you're doing things.
Sure.
And I also can't predict what you're going to make.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that idea too of decorating masks, because, you know, the mask is, you know, so emblematic of your emotion or hiding emotion.
And exactly.
And explore that. What a wonderful idea.
Yeah. It was really cool session. It was powerful. I found myself, you know, going home, and I didn't finish mine in the session because I'm there talking and teaching, but I finished it, and it, you know, it made me feel a lot of things about my life. You do, it's very symbolic. And I like to take, I like to take sort of a Jungian approach when I'm in these sessions. Like, what does this mean to you? What's the symbolism bringing up for you? You know, you can't tell someone what they feel, like I said. So the mask is a very, like you said, it's emblematic of a lot of things. It's very far reaching. It's everyone wears a mask, proverbial mask.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
So what are the age ranges in regards to Dove that you help? I mean, is it teenagers? Is it?
I've seen the ages range in, I don't know how old people are, I don't ask, but I've seen them range from, you know, young adult to quite a bit older. I actually don't know if there's an age limit for Dove to come and be part of the community or get treatment or anything. But I have done sessions like this for older teenagers all the way up to elderly folks. And I've personally only worked with women who have been in, you know, domestic violence situations, but so.
Are they mixed gender classes or just whoever comes?
Yeah, they can be. Yeah. I haven't had that happen yet, but yeah, it's open to anyone. Dove is all inclusive, just for survivors of domestic violence. So it's anyone's welcome.
Yeah. And how long are the sessions?
Yeah. So they're about an hour and a half. I mean, sometimes they go longer because let's face it, if you get in the zone and you're chatting and you're making and you don't want to stop, but it's really great. We've got a lot of programs going on. So sometimes I'm sharing a space at the very end, we're transitioning and there's a stone carving workshop going on. And so, but about an hour and a half long ish.
Okay. So. Well, have you had a situation where this unpleasant memories have come to the fore and this person needs like professional crisis therapy? What is that situation?
Yeah, I will say that hasn't happened at Dove. Mm-hmm. I worked at a place in Seattle, a safe home for people in Seattle, and we had a couple of times where we were just doing simple collages, just cutting stuff out of magazines and putting them on paper, nothing big. And at the end, towards the end, I ask if anyone wants to share and we can just listen and hold space for whatever you want to say for a few minutes. And I've had a couple of times during those where people really start to break down. You know, I had one woman start to sort of hyperventilate and her, I don't know what they called them at this place, her helper, her worker, her like buddy, whatever, had to come in and, you know, take her out of the room because this stuff is powerful. When you just start making something, you're opening up a part of your mind that's normally shut down in people and you don't know that stuff's going to come flooding out. So
yeah, it's probably surprising to them that they've hit this, you know.
Absolutely. And one, you know, they'll get embarrassed or I'm the couple times that this happened, it's been embarrassing for them. And I try to remind them it's okay, you know, but all of a sudden they're weeping and hyperventilating and they don't even really know why. And they've just opened something up by placing some eyes on a paper from a magazine, you know?
Yeah.
It's very, very powerful, but it's good to have like professional counselors or something like that on hand or close by.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Forgot what I was going to ask. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I know. My mind is going too. We were talking about like, has anyone ever like broken down during
a session?
Or
and I had a follow-up question and it's gone.
With counselors. I don't know. Cause I'm not.
I know what it was.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a cat?
I am dog sitting two pugs and that is a pug. You know how they have trouble breathing. So she's sitting right next to me. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
We'll have to explain it to the listeners.
I'll move her away. Yeah. I board dogs on the side.
Nice.
Fun. Yeah.
Do you make use of written or spoken word during these?
I have read poems, like Rumi poems are sometimes very powerful, what have you. I've read poems before. And I had one session a few years ago where I offered one of the activities in the room that I had set up was like a writing, like if you want a journal.
Okay.
And I have talked a lot about, and I will continue to talk a lot about the power of journaling, having a journal. It's something that people resist a lot, which I understand. I did too for years, but it is so powerful. Hmm. So I try to encourage people to write at some point during one of the sessions. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So from a practical standpoint, these people need to show up with supplies, their own supplies, or is that
no
in the session?
I'll provide everything. And Dove helps too, you know, like for the masks, I said, do you guys have extra scissors and glue? But I'll provide everything. I just want people to come with their selves. Come with themselves and just come in with, I don't know how to say it, just come ready to be open and receive and create, you know. Although for the Kintsugi session, I have told people if you want to bring your own ceramics, because someone might have something that really has deep meaning for them that they need to mend so that they can see that object mended.
Yeah.
And that's not something, but I am providing just things that people can break if they want to use mine, but sometimes it's a little more personal like that.
Yeah. And how often are you doing this, or do you have a schedule for Dove?
Yeah, for Dove, it's every week. I'm doing them every Thursday and for 4 weeks. Some of the other art sessions are 8 weeks, you know, some are six, it just depends, but mine's this Thursday and then the next week. And then we'll see, I may do another one, we'll see.
So is the person allowed to come back for all four sessions, or is it one session?
Anyone can come. I have one person who's come to everyone. She's going to come to everyone. That people come and go, you know. You can come to one. We had one lady come in from Bellevue and it was just, she got really excited and it, you know, cause she heard it advertised and it just, it's a long trek from Bellevue. So
yeah,
I told her I'm going to send her the supply, the, a box of our, the supplies so she can do them at home. But you know,
do most of the participants, do they finish the piece in the session?
Yeah. For the most part, they finish their masks. I would say so, because I hate time limits with art, but you know, there's only 24 usable hours in every day. So I have to tell people, okay, we're going to be ending in 10 minutes. And then most of the time people will scramble to get it done. There is something to that though. People want to finish. It's like this sort of need I've seen for people to be done before the end of the session. There might be something to that, but.
So do you utilize any therapy animals at all? Like have a dog?
No, in the room? I haven't done that yet, but I did. It's interesting. I had one lady bring a dog to one of our sessions one time, and I thought, and it was a really cool energy to have around. She just laid under our feet and we knew she was there. And it sort of, I think it fed the energy of the session. So maybe in the future.
What else? Where do you do this?
Where do I do the Dove?
Yeah. I mean, is it, how many people, I guess? Do you need a big space or?
Well, okay. So we do it at the Dove location.
Okay.
The building is by that coffee stand on the highway in town.
Yeah.
AJ's. Yeah. And, we set up a tent in their yard, in their side yard, and they have big tables. We put them together. And so it's like a round table session. And we have lots of space for as many people who would want to come. Outdoors is a really nice space just to have the fresh air and the trees around. It really actually helps get the creative juices flowing really well. I've only had, let's see, I think the most we've had is 5 people, which that's a lot for a session like this. Yeah. That's like, cause it's sort of intimate too. And if everyone's going to share, or like the first week, I sort of did an analysis of each of their collages, meaning I didn't tell them what they meant. I told them what I saw and made some observations about color and symbols. And, that took, you know, it takes a while with 5 people. So
sure.
That's a good size. And I always like it when there's, you know, enough to feel intimate so you can get to know people, but.
Yeah. Well, it really sounds like a wonderful service. I appreciate you doing that for Dub and the survivors.
Yeah, it's been a real honor and it's been, I mean, fun, but being a survivor of domestic violence myself, it's been really, I mean, powerful for me. And I'm so honored to be a part of what they're doing.
Yeah, you know it firsthand. That means it's even more special, huh?
Right. Totally. And it's really great to connect with other people who understand.
Yeah.
And having been through a lot of therapy and then being able to use my art to help people maybe heal. I mean, that's awesome.
It is.
So.
Well, what else can you tell us? Am I leaving out anything?
No, we said anyone's welcome. You can drop in. You can email Dove and tell him you're coming, or you can just come. It's at 11. It's 11 to 12:30 this coming Thursday and the next Thursday after that. If you have questions or you want to contact me, I guess I'm on Instagram and it's at Hope Black Art. You can DM me. Or my website's hopeblack.art. You can email me through there. Mm-hmm. Or you can email Dove. Their stuff is on their website.
Sure. BashOnDoveProject.org.
BashOnDoveProject.org. Yeah. So, and they have programs, I think, all year.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, could you really do this in the winter? I mean, with the rain and the cold and being outside in a tent, might not be so much fun.
I mean, I would. I think I think it would be awesome. I'm all for outdoor schools and stuff though. So I think I would do winter sessions outdoors. Like say knock on wood, COVID comes back, and we have to stay outdoors. I would do it outdoors and I would just pick art forms that are conducive to wind and getting wet, you know, if that happens. So it's doable.
Last question. How many different types of art forms have you utilized? You said clay and masks and what else have you used?
Yeah. Okay. So I have taught Zentangles, Which some people will know what that is.
Untangling
is an art form that's sometimes used for kiddos with autism or people with different developmental abilities. And it's a form of drawing like lines or dots or shapes repetitively to make patterned drawings.
Like pointillism.
Pardon?
Like pointillism, isn't it?
It's kind of like, it can involve pointillism, but it's like, it's sort of almost mandala-esque when you're done, but you might have a triangle shape and draw a line, you know, at every right angle over and over in a circle until you have this sort of almost optical illusion art. Mm-hmm. And it's very, as the name signifies, it's very Zen, it's very calming, it's very repetitive. So that's something. And then I always recognize there's some people in those classes that are like, I hate this. I cannot sit here and draw lines over and over for an hour. And there's some people that are like so zoned out and they do not want to stop after an hour. So it's different brains that you recognize. I've done things as simple as wreath decorating at Christmas, which honestly, sometimes I pick things that are just like, let's get together around the table. Let's be as a community. Let's hear people talk if we need to share anything. And let's just make something pretty for our doors. And then sometimes it's much deeper, like we'll decorate a head, like a human drawing of a human head. And we'll talk about different parts of the brain and where traumas are stored. And why did you put a butterfly where the father traumas are stored in your brain? Interesting things, like more therapy related, like,
yeah,
that.
Huh,
the gamut everywhere, you know. I've done a little bit of everything with people. So,
you know, years ago I was dating an artist, which I don't recommend, but
I don't either, we're nuts.
But I remember her talking about did a lot of different mediums, and you know, her home was decorated with all of her own work.
Yeah.
And she said artists often get to what she called the vomit point. Like, how am I going to make this right? Like, this is such, I botched this so much. How do I get past that and end up with my final vision? Have you ever heard that term? Or
not that term specifically? I think I know what she means, though. I call it I get two-thirds of the way done,
yeah,
and I freeze. And I'm like, I have no clue. How did I have an entire vision for a piece? And then you get two-thirds of the way done and you don't know what to do next. And I think my theory, part of that could be fear of finishing things. This is kind of a deep topic, but I think I can't say that definitively. I think a lot of people struggle with wanting to see things through to completion. That's why diets crash. That's why your projects are never finished. Things like that. That is so my thing. And I think a lot of artists experience that. So vomit point is interesting. I think you end up a lot of times having to just pull the trigger, make a decision and finish the damn thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's the way she described it.
Yeah.
I was interested or surprised that it wasn't earlier in the project, but she said it's kind of towards the end.
Yeah, because you kind of freak out a little bit almost, or I can only speak for myself. I get to this point where I'm like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Wait, do I want to be finished? Am I so comfortable? And because sometimes a project takes you 6 months. And if you've been working on something every single day for 6 months, it becomes this cozy little womb.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't want to be done. I don't want to start a new project. You're all cozy. So I think your mind plays tricks on you. And then you start to second guess. And then sometimes you'll scrap it, you know, and it's like the artist process is sometimes maddening beyond words. But I like her. I like that term, the vomit point. I think I know exactly.
Well, I've had some experience writing comedy. And the problem is that you get so familiar with it, it's not funny anymore.
Right.
And I'm wondering if this is the same for you, is that, you know, you get so used to this piece of art that I'm used to it now. It doesn't hold the imagination anymore.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly. It's not like a new lover. that's what a painting is. When you start it, you're like, it's new, it's fiery, it's passionate. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like do this canvas, you know, it's going to be amazing. And then you get a little bit in and you're like, it's not really doing it for me anymore. You sort of, you're like, if there comes a point when you're working on a piece where you sit back one day and you say, if I have to look at this painting one more time, I'm going to vomit. I'm so sick of this painting. And then you have to step away. You have to finish stuff. I have to make myself finish stuff though. A lot of the time, just force myself. So,
well kind of on a different subject. Have you dabbled with the NFTs and in your work, like some digital work that you've sold?
NFT. What's that?
Have you seen in the news lately where this digital artwork has been selling for millions of dollars?
Okay. No.
Well,
but now I'm going to look this up.
Yeah. I forgot what the acronym means, but you know about Bitcoin.
Yes.
Cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
That uses a technology called blockchain.
Okay.
And it gives that Bitcoin singularity. There's only one like it. You can't make a copy. So what they're doing is they're taking digital artwork and this blockchain technology. So now artists can conceive of something and there can only be one of those. So it gives it scarcity and rarity.
Huh.
So just like you're buying the single, you know, Starry Night, there's only one of those. If you made it on a computer, it's only one of those with it, when it's integrated with this blockchain technology.
The first thought I have about that is, so that would only apply to digital art then, obviously,
correct.
Because my first thought was like, well, every piece of art is like, you can't, there's nothing like it. You can't, you know, remake a piece of art.
Right. But, you know, instead of taking a digital file and copying it over and over and over and it kind of loses its value.
Oh, cool.
You can't do it. So these artists that have, go look it up. I mean, these guys are making.
That is so cool. That's so cool, actually, as a professional photographer as well.
Yep.
The whole other, you know, conversation that people have debates on. Do we, you know, should you give raw files to people? Like, we have to raise the value of these digital images, which everyone just carries around in their pockets now,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't need any training anymore to be a professional photographer, but that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
It is on the table now.
It was also interesting in the sense that Sotheby's had their first auction with these NFT stuff.
Okay.
It sold for almost $70 million.
Something. Oh my gosh.
But what it also does is it gives people that live, like I had one guy in Mexico and one guy in Kenya, I think. They have access to these auction houses now and these art galleries because it's digital, so it can be sent. I don't have to be over there with my portfolio.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you just blew my mind, and I'm now I have stuff to research for the rest of the day. Thank you. I'm going to go on a rabbit hole now.
Go to CNN. I just read this. It was on their front page.
Okay.
Yeah, so
good luck. Well, that's awesome. And, you know, actually, speaking of that, that's the other thing that I always want to make sure and drive home to people that art is very unique. You know, that's the other thing that reminded me of. It's nobody can ever make anything like you or me. You can try to recreate. I've seen people sitting in, you know, people will go to museums, like art students, and with their palette, and they will try to like paint the Mona Lisa, like exactly. Like,
yeah,
they are seeing it and they're trying, you know, as a way to train. But even if they get it exactly right, it's always different. Your style, your particular personality, your particular mind and spirit are always in what you make.
And I think even down to the physical stroke.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny, this person, she specialized in making paint the way they made it hundreds of years ago.
That's,
you know,
so like cool.
Boiling lead.
Yep.
Stove and
copper,
yeah,
metals, yeah, plants, totally.
And give it vibrancy and all this kind of stuff, and probably giving you some kind of chronic disease as well as you're breathing in.
I mean, who knows? Yeah, they definitely like, yeah, they would definitely have fumes and stuff that we don't have to deal with now. That is really neat. There's a lot of artists that do that. Wow. Again.
Yeah, that's so dedication.
It is. It's amazing.
All right. So go use Photoshop. Go make $1 million.
Okay.
I want a finder's feet cut.
Okay. You got it. I promise. 80-20.
80% is a little too much, but I'll take it.
Okay.
Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah. Thanks for wanting to chat about it. I think what Dove is doing is really, really important. And I mean, I'm so glad that there is something like this on an island, on this island. I mean, it's a small island.
I know.
And weird. It's awesome that that exists here. I lived on Whidbey Island for several years, and I'm not saying one's better or worse. I'm just saying, I don't know. There just seems to be a lot more resources on Vashon, and this is a really important resource. And it I want people to know about Dove and utilize it if they need to, and just know that it's a really safe space.
It's a really unique resource on the island.
It is.
Part of that comes from where the island itself is rural King County.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of not as have as many social services as they would say in Seattle.
Right.
So the nonprofits kind of fill that void.
Yeah.
Like drug intervention, things like that. So.
Yeah. You know, but I will say, and I worked in Seattle. I mean, I volunteered with UGM, you know, I worked at the Hope Place, like all these things that there's so many resources, which is good, but sometimes that can even be a little bit overwhelming. So.
Right.
Yeah. I just think it's like, someone's like, okay, I'm in a domestic violence situation. What do I do? Here's a book of 1 million different numbers you can call. And this person's like, I don't know, 911. Like, I don't know what to do. So, and here on the island, it's like, you can go to Dove, you can email or talk to anyone there. It's safe. It's totally, they'll be very private. And it's just, and it's a place where healing can take place after, you know, post, you know, for survivors,
right?
Post trauma, like what we're doing.
Yeah.
And actually, I take that back, because a couple of the people that have come are in the thick of it, you know, but I don't take any pictures during sessions. It's not posted on social media.
That's very smart.
A very safe place. Everything stays there. We all have to sign HIPAA, you know. It's really, really awesome. And I'm so glad that Dove is here.
Yeah, they absolutely do a wonderful service. All right. Well, Hope, thanks you again. And good luck.
Thank you so much. Okay, maybe we'll see you at one of the art sessions. You're welcome.
I'll be there with my graffiti tagger specialty.
Cool. Tagging is a whole other art form I'd love to talk about sometime.